I'm sure when you think of Las Vegas, the first word that doesn't come to mind is public health, but maybe I can change that. So I have nothing to disclose. I have some people to thank, and I'll mention them as I go along. And the objectives were, I'm going to give you an overview of the four assessments through the MAP strategic planning process and identify two opportunities for the academic and community agencies to work together. I guess they're in my briefcase or my bag there, but when I did a literature search, I found two articles on partnering with a public health agency. And one was in Family and Community Health, and the other was in the American Journal of Public Health. And one talked about really more of a contracting type arrangement with a public health agency for baccalaureate nursing education. And the other really described different types of partnerships you could have with a public health agency. And it was written more from the perspective, perhaps, of a school of public health than a school of nursing, but both were helpful. I did bring hard copies there, and once I sit down again, I'll pass them around. So the academic health department model is similar to a teaching hospital, where it's really a tight bond. And the other model is these contracts or memoranda of agreements. And there's benefits because the academic institutions can provide services, particularly research. I myself have served on some advisory committees. I actually served on the Board of Health for a while. I helped with interviewing for management positions there. And health departments certainly are fertile ground for students. And conversely, they can provide adjunct faculty or guest speakers. So collaborations are really important, particularly in Las Vegas, when we spend the least amount per person of any state on public health. I believe it's 33 cents per capita. So if the health department bonded more with we have a school of public health, we have a school of nursing, and we have a dental school, and if we could have more of a close working relationship, we could certainly leverage these institutions. But there are barriers, which I'll go into in a little bit. So the overall view is that I participated with the health district to conduct three assessments in the MAP process. The fourth, they felt they were in the best position to do, and so I didn't help with that. And I helped, they made a decision a year or so ago to pursue accreditation by FAB, and I'll tell you what happened to that as we go along. So you're probably familiar with NACHO, and this is their little graphic, and they talk about the various assessments that need to be done, and then you can do visioning. You do visioning first, and you do the assessments, identify the issues, and formulate goals and strategies. So how I got involved with this, well, I'll tell you the overview. The community themes and strengths assessment, this is straight from the NACHO website. It answers what's important to our community, what's the quality of life, and what assets do we have to achieve these things. Local public health system assessment, what are the components, competencies, and capacities of our public health system, and how are the essential services being provided, or are they being provided to our community. Forces of change focuses on forces such as legislation, technology, other impending changes that affect the context in which the community and its public health system operate. So this is sort of getting experts or the community together to do some sort of looking at the future based on the past. And this fourth one is what the health district decided to do in-house because they have a lot of data on how healthy the residents are and what is the health status of the community. So I divided this into chapters. Chapter one, how I got involved. As our moderator said, I teach community health nursing and some other courses at the university. And, you know, it disturbed me when I moved there in 2006 that if there was a bad list, we were at the top, and if there was a good list, we were at the bottom. I think Arizona kind of, and Mississippi, I think we're all down there bottom feeding. Texas, yeah. I mean, we have the worst high school graduation rate. We have the lowest childhood immunization rate. Anyway, so we had this little institute formed. Kirk Kerkorian, who's 94, MGM grand, he had an institute named, or foundation named after his two daughters. That's what Lindsay means. He chunked $1 million or $2 million at the university and said, you can set up this institute to try to improve the quality of health, the quality of life here in Las Vegas. And then he took the balance of the foundation, which is, I guess, millions and millions, like $50 million, and he gave it to UCLA. So that was the end of that foundation. Anyway, I applied to be a Lindsay Fellow, and they gave me some money. But first they said I had to get a community partner. And when I sent out an email looking for a community partner, the health district was the only response I got. I didn't get anything from the homeless sector or elderly, low-income housing, nothing. And they said that they wanted to start the MAP process, which I'd never heard of. And we sort of talked it over, and they thought the community themes and strengths assessment would be the best place to start. So Clark County is made up of many different segments. The city of Las Vegas is quite tiny. None of these strip properties are in the city of Las Vegas. They're in an unincorporated Clark County. So they say, welcome to Las Vegas, but it's really unincorporated Clark County, which doesn't sound as sexy. So 2 million people, how do you do this on a limited budget? Well, we decided to sample different segments of the community. And we used two town hall style meetings using a technology of participation facilitator from Phoenix. And if you haven't heard of TOP, you could Google it, but it's a way of doing like a gigantic focus group and getting some agreement and consensus. And then I went after smaller groups of people who had not attended these to get their opinion. So here's basically the town hall invitees. That's the public health jelly bean. And we were able to combine the list from academia and the health district. And we wound up getting 62 people to come to these large meetings, about 30 on each day that we held it, one afternoon and one morning. And if you know anything about academia, you know that there's no secretarial help, so it was very helpful to have somebody at the health district to be able to answer the phone and confirm attendance, because otherwise they would get my voicemail, I'd call them back, they wouldn't be there. So I don't want to belabor the findings because I want to talk more about the process. Well, no surprise, Southern Nevada needs to improve. The lack of community engagement, that needs to be improved. There were many assets, but nobody was sort of rounding them up, and they sort of gave us the go on and complete this MAP process. But, you know, at that point, we had no money. So we were just sort of hanging there, waiting, trying to figure out what to do. And in the meantime, we put together this vision of what, you know, what the people at the health district and from the CTSA thought this would be a vision for a healthy community. So the advantages were that the health district got an assessment done. We were able to hold the large meetings on the campus. They had, you know, good location for catering and so forth. We educated the community. I got publication possibilities, a lot of knowledge transfer back and forth. But the best thing was we had demonstrated we could work together and produce a product. So a state public health foundation consultant applied to NACHO through with the SNHD to complete the remaining assessments and got a grant. And they did not have the staff to complete this. They said, you have to get this all done in 6 months' time or you have to give back the money. So the health district made a sub-award to the university and told me I could do two of the other assessments. So because anyone who's dealt with the Institutional Review Board at a university knows that it can take 3 months to get a project approved, at least at mine, and they needed to start this local public health system assessment right away, the way we structured it was the health district did that, and I gave them some advice, and then they gave me the data, which I analyzed. So it was done in a broad way where we divided up the essentials and we only sent the survey through SurveyMonkey to people who were likely to know the answer. Some of it went just to the health district, some of it just went to deans of schools of health and so forth. And then we had a pretty good response rate to that. And then we took the questions where we had the fewest responses, like the academic deans, we might have had 5 people take the survey, or where we had the greatest spread, where people said we weren't doing it till we were doing it optimally. And we just focused on those questions, and we had a small group. We had a meeting, again, getting the technology of participation consultant, and worked in small groups, and then convened. And what they found was that agencies and institutions were functioning in silos. One of the deans of the state college got up and said that they were not part of the local public health system. And she expressed surprise that she'd even been invited, even though they graduate nurses. So there was a lot of... By then, time had elapsed, and I'd gotten my IRB approval, and I went and did the forces of change assessment. And again, we did a large brainstorming session with the accreditation steering committee, and then I did some small focus groups. The biggest thing, of course, was access to care, Affordable Care Act uncertainties, that's still uncertain. And small government, people want the services, but they don't want to pay taxes, similar to Arizona. And there were threats to community health, but also some provided opportunities. So the Chapter 2 partnership really kind of, you know, showed that there was a lot of opportunities for advantages for both sides. I had PhD students who got some research experience. The health district got to say they were working with the university. So it really had some positives. There were some challenges. I mentioned the IRB. And although I more or less own the data from the Lindsay Institute, the biggest challenge is there was a large upset at the health district where the medical director was more or less forced to give his 1 year's notice, and then they replaced him and told him he didn't have to come to work anymore, although they were going to pay him. And they got rid of his administrative assistant, and they disbanded the accreditation process. And so all of the data that I have and the conclusions and the reports are now sitting in limbo because it was done under the other medical director. And the new medical director doesn't want to go forward with anything. So I don't own that data, and I can't publish it. And whose name will be on it if it ever finally emerges? And a big problem was the scheduling. Sometimes agency people can only meet like Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock, and that's when I teach. So, you know, but what could be done is, I think up front you have to kind of address who owns the data, who can publish on it, who can use that data to apply for other grants. All of these things can be done, but I just didn't realize they needed to be done when I stepped into it. Now, most of you are familiar that AACN received a grant from CDC to advance the public health nursing workforce. This might be an opportunity. I hope they put some money out there to you know, do some research on this. My particular school allows faculty members, particularly nurse practitioners, a practice day. And I asked her whether I'm not a nurse practitioner, but could I have a practice day at the health district? And, well, I guess you could. also, there is, through the Public Health Foundation, the Academic Health Department Learning Community, and talks about setting up academic health departments. And then AACN has set up the Academic Practice Partnership Community. So there are ways for us to all work together instead of just working in our silos. But we're going to have to, one side or the other is going to have to drag in the practice partner. And she didn't copyright that. So any questions?